Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the Off Menu podcast, chopping the stalk of bad times off of the head of great laughs, using the stalk. But now, what do we do with the heads?
It's the Off Menu podcast. That is Ed Gamble. My name is James Acaster, and we have a dream restaurant. We invite a guest in every single week. We ask them their favourite ever start, a main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is
Alison Spittle. Alison Spittle, wonderful comedian, wonderful podcaster, brilliant laugh.
One of the best comics, one of the funniest. Really excited to have Alison on the podcast. What an honour. If you haven't heard her own podcast, Wheel of Misfortune, you've got to get on that. It's such a great podcast. However, even though we love Alison, if she chooses a secret ingredient, an ingredient which we deem to be disgusting, then we will kick Alison out of the dream restaurant. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Oh, no. Going to let the listener in on what's happened. It's the reason my intro is so bad as well, because I didn't really think about it properly.
The intro is a reference to chorizo broccoli pasta.
Yeah, but it fell apart, didn't it? Benito's not here. He hit record because he had to take his dog out for a piss.
Yes, the dog.
So that's how much we need Benito.
Toast the dog was very much bursting for a wee. And we're tight on time. So Benito said, I'm going to do it. You know, I was going to press record and see you later. But we haven't decided what the secret ingredient is yet. But we've got to decide before Alison gets here. Let's go for...
Plops.
Huh?
Plops.
I think I do plops. I don't think Alison will pick plops. Anyway.
Red currants.
I mean, there is plops. I guess, you know, what? There's that coffee bean that...
I'm sure we've done that.
An animal eats it and poos it out.
Have we done that already? Though?
Have we already done that?
I don't know. Benita's not here.
He's not here to check, cross-reference it and see if we've done it.
Red currants.
Red currants.
Oh, he's coming back.
Skimmed milk.
Oh, skimmed milk's good.
Yeah, skimmed milk is mostly water.
Right, skimmed milk.
Yeah.
If Alan's picked skimmed milk, she's out.
Yeah, great, deal. Hello, Toast. Toast is back.
Benita's back with him. Toast hasn't just walked in and sat down.
But his own going, I tricked him. I've locked him out of the house. like the Flintstones. Right. Probably start the episode.
Yeah, I'm on tour at gamble.co.uk. I think I'm on tour at this point. Go and check it out.
It's going to be great. Here is the off-menu menu of...
Alison Spittle. Welcome, Alison, to the Dream Restaurant.
I'm very, very excited to be here.
Welcome, Alison Speckle, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. I didn't think there'd be smoke involved as well.
So much
you don't
smoke.
See it on the podcast.
No, exactly.
You know?
I'll put extra smoke for you.
Thank you.
I thought you'd appreciate it.
Good. No, good. I'm glad you did. I'm very, very excited about being here because I listen to the podcast, and when you listen at your leisure, you're kind of thinking, oh, I'd have that and I'd have this and have that. And then I'm actually asked to be on it. And then it became scary. You know? Then I was like, oh, you must mention your childhood favourite stuff. It had to be. And so I'm very excited, but very torn. But I'm ready, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
Is that what you've done? Have you decided to do like a menu that represents your entire life? Or have you thought, a menu that's just the one I'd like to eat the most right now at this point in my life? Or?
That's a big problem as well. I prepped real badly today. I woke up and I was doing stuff. Sorry if I've just my bra's just broken, so it's added a bit of...
in the moment, so, just now. Yeah, it just broke as we're talking.
Yeah. It's slowly stabbing me in the armpit. Pay attention to me. So this will add a frisson of
well, as far as I know, it's a first for the podcast.
Really? Oh,
it might have happened before.
A bra breaker.
But it might have happened.
Yeah,
but they haven't mentioned it.
We'll put a warning at the start of the podcast. This episode's an official bra breaker, so people know.
Unhook those bras.
Let them free. We're going free range, baby. So I've broken my bra already for this, and it is. It's going to be a representation of a lot of stuff. I told my boyfriend about it, mm-hmm. and he said you're taking the piss, and I was like, well, you're not James, right? and what he would pick would be old El Paso beef tacos for his main.
I
don't respect him.
No, you can't
respect that. Come on.
Although there's a time and a place for old El Paso, and I respect the old El Paso now and again.
Hey, there's a time and a place, but I tell you what, the time and place isn't. It's your dream meal.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that's it.
I think we're all on the same page apart from your boyfriend.
No. So suck it, Simon. I'm going to ask for a help of magic. With this as well. Yeah.
Well, you've got a genie here, right?
So.
Yeah. All happy to lend the magic there. How before we get into your menu, how often are these tacos coming up in your
him?
Life? Yeah.
Well, because we live together, I'd say about in lockdown a few times.
Right.
There was a lot of nostalgic eating in the lockdown.
Yeah.
So I'd say four times in 1 year, which is probably more than I've old El Paso beef tacos in a decade. You know what I mean? It's a Halley's Comet of food for me. It's wow, it's here. So recently a bit, but since the lockdown, not so much. What about you?
I've not had them for a while.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking about?
They did the square shells. Have you had the square shells before?
I have not, no.
So I think this is a fairly new... I think old El Paso do these. Because obviously the taco shells are normally rounded and you... And they flop down, right?
They do, little suns.
But now, I think they do a flat bottom one, so you can
put more tacos. Stuff.
You can put more stuff for a start, more surface area, and then just put them. They're freestanding.
Wow, you could write a song about it. You could be flat bottom tacos. The rock and roll go around. It's great that they've kind of looked at it and went, it's structurally better.
Innovated, yeah.
But I think for me, the fun of an old El Paso beef taco was, being proud of yourself that you didn't break it before it got to your mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're taking that away.
Perfectly and
Yeah, I like to eat my tacos without stabilizers. You know, I like to live a little.
Yeah.
So, that's been, I mean, I don't know why I've mentioned that. That's Simon's thing now and he's got his bit on. But
I think I believe the words were suck it, Simon. I don't think he's won in this at all.
He hasn't won, he's sucking it.
Go suck that taco.
Oh, the worst way to eat a taco.
It really is.
I wouldn't
really
want to suck it.
No, it'd be like eating communion, like a really big communion. No, is that about? I was ex-Catholic. I'm saying ex-consecrated, right? So it's am I messed up?
In Catholicism, you suck the middle out of a taco?
You suck the wafer?
Well, I did, but you were told it was rude to do that. There's a lot of chat about, I used to, so when you receive communion, you can take it by the hand or by the mouth, right?
Yeah.
And I would let the priest give it to me in the mouth because I'm sorry.
I'll be honest with you, Alison. I was sat here going, Okay, come on, Ed, you're better than that. Don't make a joke about Catholicism and sucking it.
Yeah.
And I thought we're going to be really mature and avoid this.
Yeah.
But there was a number of points. There was one of, like, sucking it, and I thought in my head, nah, don't do that joke. Yeah. And then it was, you can take it in the hand or take it in the mouth. Don't say that. I'm not going to jump on that. And then it was, eventually, I would let the priest give it to me in the mouth. They're like, well, how the hell are we meant to leave this?
It's because I'm left-handed. Because you're supposed to take the communion so I'm gonna think of a way. If the priest places the communion in your hand, you take it with your right hand and you pop it in your mouth, right? But if I really have to think of a better word than take. Yeah. What? Sure. Okay, you receive it.
Yeah. No.
You open your mouth and he places the communion in your mouth.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to then like he says something to you and you say it back. I can't remember. He goes, body of Christ, and I go, amen, right?
Yeah.
And I close the mouth. I walk back to my pew, and then you're supposed to sit down, have a pray, and let it kind of let the communion slowly like melt away on
like a skip.
Like a skip, exactly like a skip.
Yeah.
But sometimes I would put my tongue up to the roof of my mouth, creating a glue, and then you're afraid because this is the body of Christ. So you're like, I am worried. So, and you're not allowed to chew. You're not allowed to chew.
You're not allowed to chew?
You're not supposed to chew or look too happy while receiving the body of Christ. It's supposed to be.
You're not supposed to go,
Yeah, because genuinely it does taste nice.
Yeah.
It's a little wafer if people haven't had communion.
It's body of Christ. It better taste nice.
I know. Yeah. It is exactly. It's the original number one Son of God, you know? So I've had, and it is like a taco. Like I have thought when I was receiving communion before, like it would be great with like a smear of like cream cheese or something like that. So like that is a nostalgic food for me. That would be like my version of an Old El Paso. But you can't really get communion wafers.
You
like,
can't. Well, they must buy them from somewhere, right?
I wonder where.
Imagine if you saw not Asta. I said they must do not Asta.
I was like, wow.
Asta Price. I mean, imagine seeing like a priest like just like who's clearly just had a breakdown, walking down the street eating a massive bag.
Oh yeah,
of communion wafers. Like their chips, just like straight into the mouth.
People have definitely done that. Like, because as people that used to be servers, so that was like children who would like. They would be like the magician's assistants of priests, basically, on stage. So, like, I used to do that. And the kids used to steal the wine.
Oh, really?
Drink the wine. Yeah, but we never fought like wafers as well.
Like,
even though we'd access to it.
What's the wine like? Never.
Well, I was about 11, so I don't know.
Wine's wine, I suppose, when you're 11.
Very heady Merlot. The priest just sips it and goes, yeah, I'll have that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, fill her up.
Yeah. So, I feel so afraid now that I've excommunicated. I mean, I'm no longer Catholic. I'm no longer Catholic, and I am mentally ill, and I don't know if they're connected, but but I still love a candle, like, you know.
Yeah.
And Catholics love candles.
You can buy like fancy candles that deliberately smell like the Catholic smell.
Can you? Like a Yankee candle?
Yeah, well, it's even like...
Like freshly consecrated.
Yeah, but it's like you can buy that specific Catholic Church smell.
No.
You can buy in like a really fancy candle. And I love that smell.
I would literally buy that.
Yeah. Well, the incense that's swinging around in the metal ball.
Yeah. Oh, you used to do that. I used to do that at funerals.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I used to earn about 20 quid. It was great.
Nice.
Like you'd get money for weddings and funerals.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be sad that someone has died in your village, but you would be like, oh, my shift's coming up next.
Breaking
week. It in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It
was great
timing. Yeah. Can go bowling. I'm happy.
But that smell is great. That it takes me back because my grandparents were Catholic. So whenever I went to my grandparents, we'd have to go to church.
Yeah.
And that, oh.
Nice smell.
Right, love
I've
it.
I don't know what the smell is.
Oh, I've look, I'll bring you sometime. Ceremony. One of my food bits is like, I'll tell you after. Well, when it comes up, I'll be quiet. I'll let you take care of this.
So we always start with still or sparkling water, Alison.
I'm going to go still.
Right.
I don't have strong. No, people have strong feelings towards sparkling.
Uh-huh.
I'll have it if it's there and if I want it. But like when I was a kid, of course, didn't like it. But I'm gonna go for still, probably tap. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't like big bottles of cold still water coming to you. It runs out, and you know, you just have to buy another one. But if you get it in a tap, they can go back to the kitchen, put on a tap and pop it in. I hate paying for water as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels wrong, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. It feels like I'm wiping my arse with a £10 note. Just like, I could do that. Do you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so excited about going on the podcast that I've gone straight to toilet humour. I'm so sorry.
Well, look, anything's a swing up for him. I'll let the priest give it to me in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. So don't worry. Nowadays...
Okay, sorry, yes, yeah.
Nowadays, I think wiping your ass with a £10 note is going to be harder because they're like water resistant.
So you just, well, I thought that would be a bonus. Great. You could wash it off and use it
rinse
again.
It off.
That's true. Yeah. That is true, yeah.
It's actually probably cheaper than toilet paper.
It's like a squidgy, yeah. Isn't it?
So you would like tap water?
Tap water, please.
From any particular region? Because obviously tap water is different wherever you go.
I mean, not London, if I'm being honest. Probably my village. But there was this cryptosporidium outbreak, which is like gives you terrible diarrhea, and that was there a couple of years ago.
Trying to steer it back onto the clean. Everyone in my village has diarrhea.
You go overdrawn at the cash machine in your village.
So, I'd love it from my village from now and not when the lake is polluted. I'd be quite happy. Yeah,
what's the village? Yeah. You want to shout it out?
Ballymore. It's called the town of two ends and no middle. And that's because there was a pub at the top of a hill and another pub at the bottom of the hill and nothing much in between. Uh-huh. But my housing estate is in the middle. I live in a place with no name in a way.
No, but Bermuda called... Triangle.
Yeah, Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, no one knows where your place is.
There's like a castle in my council estate. I come from a council estate with like a really big Jacobite castle. And we used to play like wars and stuff until like one kid got a rock thrown on his head and then the farmer blocked it up so we couldn't go in the castle anymore.
Blocked up the castle?
Yeah.
Not his head?
Yeah.
It really sounded like the farmer blocked the kid's head up. Right, you're not playing with that anymore.
Such a twee lovely story for a second there.
Yeah.
We'd all play around a castle and then a kid caught a fucking Lord of the Flies happened and then that's it.
Yeah.
The farmer plopped the castle up.
He did.
What was your favourite pub? Top of the hill or bottom of the hill?
Top of the hill was a bit more happening.
Yeah.
Because there used to be a chip shop in a garage there and this chip shop was called Friar Tuck's or Jackie Chips colloquially. Because the woman who owned it was called Jackie, and we call her Jackie Chips. Because she ran a chip shop.
I mean, I know all that. It's exactly Ed's sense of humor.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's that there's someone called Jackie Chips who owns a chip shop.
Also, I just love anything that has a name already.
Yeah.
Fryer Tuck's, like, I'd imagine Fryer spelt like a chip fryer.
Yes.
Lovely name. They spent a while coming up with that. They're probably really proud of themselves. And everyone calls it Jackie Chips because the woman who runs it is called Jackie.
In the chip shop, there's a menu. There's like, it's with computer printed menu on it. And then she wrote a handwritten, what did they call it? When you make an extra meal, she made this extra meal called the Bull Box because there's this man called the Bull who wanted sausages and chicken and chips in a sack. So, like, she created a new meal for him.
The Bull Box.
The Bull Box. So he could come in and go, the Bull Box, please.
I need to know a bit more about the Bull, to be honest.
Yeah, I think why he called the Bull.
Yeah.
I think it's probably because of his, like, he's quite a tall, muscular, he would tear you apart. He's very, like, he's, like, in a fight sense, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think he needs to. He does need chips and sausages.
And chicken.
And chicken. He wants all of his protein. And he would also, like, the way you would have a conversation with him, you're me. So you say hello, Bull, and I'll be Bull.
Hello, Bull.
Huh, yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
How's the Bull Box today?
Uh-huh. Something like that. And yeah, you know, I, for me, I'd understand. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, you know what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, that's the book.
He just sounds like he's full all the time, to be honest.
Yeah, he's full of the bull box.
Yeah, the full bull. He's having a new... He's having a bull box a day.
Yeah, so it was quite a... Yeah, Jackie Chips was quite a place.
What was Jackie Chips like as a person?
She's good. Do you want to hear... She doesn't own... The chip shop is closed down because of the pandemic and everything like that. So Jackie Chips is still Jackie Chips.
Yeah.
But she no longer has a chip shop.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Oh. That's tough for her.
Yeah. But she's just Jackie now.
What's the bull doing for food these days?
I don't know.
I just want to draw attention to the fact Benito's dog has been sat at the window watching the whole record for...
We can let him in if you want, but like...
It causes absolute fucking chaos when he comes to the record. Yeah. Last time, he finally got to sleep on James's lap and then James screamed Papa Dom's or bread and woke him up.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, Papa Dom's or bread!
I'm going to go... I've had to think about it. I'm going to go for prawn crackers.
Oh, yes!
You've been waiting for this.
Someone's finally done it.
I'm going to go for prawn crackers. I used to work in a Chinese takeaway when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And the first job they gave me was I had to bag up the prawn crackers.
Uh-huh.
And the boss said to me, Alison, you can eat as much as you like. You don't have to worry. Like, don't ask us. Have as many prawn crackers as you like. Now, I was a fat teenager, so I really took them up on that, and I destroyed myself. I absolutely, like, just I had to sit myself in a corner and have a word with myself. I absolutely destroyed the prawn crackers, and I never ate another prawn cracker for as long as I worked for him. Right. So I would bag it up, and it would be nothing to me.
I think he did that with everyone who worked on the prawn cracker station.
I think he did.
I think he knew what was going to happen.
I think he did. I love a prawn cracker. For me, it's the best part of the Chinese takeaway for me. Sorry, just burped there. Oh my God. Brass breaking. I'm burping. Some people would pay top money for that. You know?
Did you ever a burp after the priest give it to you in the mouth?
That's for when you're thankful for your meal, isn't it? I think they prefer silence.
Thank you, Father.
So, like, when I would have the Chinese meal on my lap in the back of the car, you know, it's a half an hour to get to my house from the Chinese takeaway. My sister would put her hand. She's sitting in front. She would put her hand around the back of the back of the seat and kind of mime to me in a way that's like one of those like a hook. And we would call it the prawn cracker tax because she knows I'm eating them. So I would give it to her and she would eat the prawn crackers in silence. And then Mum would get out of the car and go, "Where's all the prawn crackers?"
Yeah.
Oh, we tricked you, Mum.
So the thing I love about prawn crackers
is
you put them in your mouth and they melt.
Yeah.
It's a Chinese communion wafer.
It genuinely is.
Yeah.
It genuinely is. I looked at it, but it's way tastier. Like, if Jesus tastes like prawns, I mean, that's what you're getting. Prawn crackers. It's great. And what I would have, like, you know the way with bread and everything, with the papadums and bread, you have dips. So what I'm going for the prawn crackers is we're going to have small little bowls that are in the size of, like, sauce bowls, but with actual Chinese meals in them. So I'd pop them in the... Is that taking the
no.
mix?
No.
Oh, I love this.
Is that, like, so I'd, like, use it as a spoon, pop it in.
Yeah.
It's like genuinely prawn crackers.
So, like, mini Chinese mini meals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what are the little bowls got in them?
Well, we got one, right? We're going to have, like, a big bit of pineapple in one of them, right?
Oh.
So, like, it's a sweet and sour chicken mix, I'm thinking, like, crispy chicken, but a big bit of pineapple, some peas, a bit of, like, egg fried rice. You pop it in, you break it. The first bit of your mouth is just touching off prawn cracker. You're like, what's this? And then you break in and the cells of all the pineapple just blast all over your mouth. And it's beautiful. Like, there's an acidic hit that's getting me every time. So I'd have that, right?
Yeah.
And then I would have, like, dan dan noodles, even though they wouldn't go over prawn cracker, but I'm just feeling it, right?
Yeah.
I want it. Then we're going to go, like, curry. I don't care about meat. Like, I'm a meat eater.
Yeah.
But for me, on a menu, it's the stuff that goes with the meat that, like, makes me order something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go for, like, a bit of curry and a barbecue sauce. When I worked in the Chinese takeaway, I was vegetarian at the time, except for the prawn crackers. And the guy who worked there would be like, don't eat the barbecue sauce. And I was like, why? And he's like, just don't. So I think there's meat in it. Yeah. So I'm going to have that. Yeah. And it's going to be beautiful. And I had a great time working at the Chinese takeaway because they would make meals especially for me. Uh-huh. And like it was very stressful though. Because the first day I was working there, a man came up to me and he goes, the usual, please. And I was like, ah, it's my first day. And he goes, would you fuck off? And I was like... So this man really wanted his usual.
Yeah, and refused to elaborate on what the usual was.
So I went back into the kitchen. I was like, there's a man asking for the usual. And the woman goes, yeah, hot curry, garlic sauce, right? So this guy wanted a hot beef curry with garlic mayonnaise dripped in it.
Oh,
it
was, God. I didn't want to tell you that.
I know.
That's the unusual, I think.
Yeah.
Who ran the Chinese takeaway?
Who ran it? A guy called Han. It no longer exists.
What?
I know, maybe I'm a curse on stuff, but it doesn't like...
Maybe it's time for Jackie to buy a new restaurant.
Maybe
become
it is.
Jackie Noodles.
Jackie Noodles.
Just going back to you said one of them would be curry.
Yeah.
Now, the only reason I'm pressing on this is because like my favourite thing to have prawn crackers with is Thai green curry.
Ooh.
I think it's delicious.
Do you...
So now that's why I wanted some specificity on
But are you
curry.
Talking about the Thai prawn crackers?
No, just like even normal prawn crackers, I like them with. I love the Thai prawn crackers, but I'd say just regular prawn crackers, I like them with like chicken Thai green curry. Mm. Is delicious the way they soak it up.
I'm gonna go for like the Chinese Irish style curry, which is like full of corn flour and very thick. And
yeah,
stuff
like the
that.
Gloopy like
oh the gloopiest
curry.
Yeah. Oh my god, the guy who'd be making the prawn crackers would just get like almost like a butterfly net. And just put it into the deep fat fryer and then flick it. Like, and I'd have to avoid the hot spills and stuff and then just bag it up.
And he would flick it into the air out of the fryer.
Well, like, you know, it's flicking it as far as me to you, yeah. I'd say. So, yeah. Like, that's... Yeah.
That's pretty
that's
irresponsible. That, like, flipping it out of the fryer some distance across the room
into
to you.
Into this pit. Into this, like, straight pit that
I can't believe you ever left this place. Unless you're getting hot oil tossed over yourself. You get a massive rock flying at your head if you walk past the castle.
Yeah, that's true. I did leave under like cloudy circumstances.
Oh yeah,
great.
So my job was to be front of house, do the prawn crackers, and also my job was to put rice into cartons. So they would do the cooking, the three people that were in the kitchen, but there'd be a big vat of boiled rice or egg fried rice. And one day the lady asked me for a rice carton, so I gave her the foil one because I thought that's what she wanted. But through miscommunication, I didn't understand that she wanted the plastic case, which would be for special fried rice. And she used to have a stick, and she hit me with the stick, and she went, wrong carton. And then I left. So that was the. I've took that as like I've been sacked, obviously.
Yeah,
like, so that was.
I mean, you said I loved working in this place.
I did.
All we've heard so far is someone's told you to fuck off. You've had hot oil thrown over you, and someone hit you with a stick.
Buying all the prawn crackers that I could ever want.
That's true. Yeah,
you know?
I forgot about that bit. Yeah, that.
Yeah, of course you get like all the prawn crackers. They've never been flung at you straight from the fryer. If you managed to eat any of them, congrats to you.
It's extreme prawn crackers.
Have as many of these as you want, Alison. Come in.
Trying to catch them out of the air like a dog with a frisbee.
Like I'm in space or something.
They're getting hit with a stick like Yoda. Yoda's training Luke in the film. Wrong box. Bang.
Yeah. Luke just walking off going, I've had enough. It'd be a short film, wouldn't it?
Come on, R2. Your dream starter.
My dream starter is soup. So I'm going to go for soup. This is where your magic comes in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mystery soup, and I don't know what I'm getting until it's in my mouth. There's the logic behind it.
Yep.
If this involves a priest, I'm leaving.
Yeah, he would part the soup like the Red Sea.
What's he parting it with?
what I'm going for is like, so my granny Minnie, she is a woman. She's a woman that like, she's not the best cook in the world, but she would make soup, and sometimes the soup would be incredible, And sometimes the soup would be like leftover lamb stew with a can of tuna thrown in on top of it. Because my gran's a hard worker, but she's not the best with reading and stuff, yeah. Right? So she would just like, once she used Tabasco as like a tomato-based sauce, and like the kids, like, this is a story that's passed down generations of like a child receiving a full spaghetti bolognese with just all Tabasco in it.
Wow.
And they're coughing, and she thinks that they're pulling a prank. So she's just turned to anger, and they've had to eat the whole Tabasco.
So instead of tomato, it was all Tabasco.
It was all Tabasco.
Horrific.
Do you know what? I was thinking, oh, that's a heartening story. And then I was actually, no.
No, it's like chemical warfare.
That kid was lucky to be alive. Superpowers, that kid.
Yeah.
She's a great woman. Like reading isn't her best thing, right?
Yeah.
She used to work in the Taifu tea factory in England. And because she was so small, they used to throw her in a big vat of tea. And then she would have to find like bugs and stuff and pull it out because she was such a small lady.
And let's just get this straight. Her name's Minnie.
Yeah.
Granny Minnie. Thrown in a big vat of tea.
Yeah.
To fish all the bugs out.
To fish all the bugs out that everyone would drink it.
And she would get bonuses for all the bugs. And One time she thought she'd make more money and she got like a butterfly from the garden.
No, yes. Alison, please. Please, Alison, no.
And she was brought up to HR because they were like, this butterfly is not like indigenous to the country that this tea came from. So obviously there's been lies.
You brought in your own bugs, Minnie. Yeah.
Not an Irish butterfly in the tea.
So, oh my god, I love that.
So she would make different types of soup, and me and my cousin Anthony, she would go have some soup, and we would like push each other and go, have it, because if it was good, yeah, it was real good. But someone had to be brave enough to try the soup. So the mystery soup could be different soups from my life. I got loads of the favourite soups. Funeral soups is a big one. And that's enough. In Ireland, the catering of a funeral is very important.
Yeah.
And one of my favourite things at a funeral, apart from like, you know, celebrating someone's life or whatever, is the opportunity to eat funeral soup, which is just mass-produced vegetable soup that you get from bouillon or whatever. But it's so salty and it just hits you. And it's that kind of thing of like when you're it tastes like tears. It's so salty and it's good. So you drink it and you're like, like that. And you can feel your whole mouth dry.
It feels like a disrespectful sound to make it if you don't.
Like a big Coca-Cola advert or whatever. And like what I would do is like one of my favourite things is to get like one of those petit pans that you often get with a soup, and I would like bite the top off like a grenade, and I would get my tongue in, and I was like, there's no other way. I would manoeuvre my tongue around to take away the soft bit of bread from the hard bit of bread,
right.
And I would suck it, right?
Yeah.
See, it's almost like a tropical fruit, but this is bread. And then I'd have like a whole mouthful of bread, I'd hold that out, and then I would...
You take that out of your mouth.
Take that out of my mouth,
take the bread out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Take the soft bread out of my mouth, have that in one hand, and then I would fill the crusty demi baguette that's been like just it's a husk now, yeah, at this point. Whoa. And I'd fill it with vegetable soup.
Yeah.
And I would call that like it's like a savoury kind of Ferrero Rocher in a way. You're just enjoying all the textures
now,
and stuff.
I completely understand this.
Good.
You've got the crispy bit and then you fill it with soup. The bit I question is the technique.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you could do that with a knife.
100%. You could get a knife or a spoon or whatever, any cutlery, cut the inside out of a bread roll, and then fill it. But you've licked it out.
I have, yes.
Kept it, held it in your mouth, not swallowed it.
Not eaten it. I would have just, or if I was using my mouth, I'd just eat the middle.
Yeah, but you reach into your mouth, you take it out, and you just hold it in your hand. While you're doing the rest of it.
Yeah, it's for dipping. Then after, you know, you dip
your big gobby bread ball.
That gobby. My mouth is dry from soup.
Oh,
my
mouth is dry. Sorry, your mouth's dry because you drank all the funeral tear soup.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a good soup. I love it. There's another soup that I like. I mean, you got French onion, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's good, sorry, I mean, it's great.
A brief shout out to the French onion.
I went to Morocco and I was there for a month doing a film and a thing. And in the garages, like in Ireland, our food culture is quite garage based, I feel. Like it's been talked about before, where like you get chicken rolls and stuff like that, and that's like kind of like Irish food. And in Morocco, they have like big, big tureens of lentil soup, and it's beautiful. And you have a bit of lime, and they have it for breakfast and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think there should be more soup for breakfast. Yeah. I think soup all the time would be quite good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've tried to make ramen myself. And I made it with like a pork-based kind of stock cube, and it smelled like piss. So, but that's my fault. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't blame the Japanese for
no,
that.
No. It was a piss bouillon. It was like a urinal cake. Yeah. So, but these are my mystery soups. I don't know what I'm getting until I get it. And we're also going to pop in the lamb and tuna thing, just to keep it alive. You know, like
keep
have
it
a, soup,
toes, yeah.
So a you, soup revel.
So you might get something rubbish.
Yeah.
But. I mean, I'm imagining that for your dream meal, you would like to know that is in there, but not get it.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I can't know that I'm not going to get it either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have
you
to threaten me.
Yeah.
I like to eat with fret.
So you want to know it's in there. You might get it, but you ultimately don't. And that makes it even, that makes the soup you get even better.
Yeah.
Do you want loads of pots of soup? All in the same pot with lids on like a Lazy Susan, and then you spin them around.
I was thinking, right, because I did think about this. Mm-hmm. We got Genie technology here, and there was a doll that I used to have as a kid called My Baby All Gone, and he used to have this song called My Baby All Gone, You Make It All Gone, and it had a special spoon in it with like three cherries in the spoon, and you'd pop it against the doll's lips and it would pop away. So I think the technology is within the spoon, that I'm getting like a spoon of nice soup. You're rocking back and forth.
I'm just really trying to work out what this has to do with My Baby All Gone.
I haven't thought about My Baby All Gone for years. Like, since
is that
I was...
the doll that would do like a shit and a piss?
No, it would eat the food. I remember My Baby All Gone and the three cherries on the spoon.
Three cherries on the spoon.
And the theme tune. I haven't thought about it since I was like...
How would you get the cherries back?
Well, the cherry. Well, do you want the real answer? Like the technology?
Yeah.
So I think the spoon is quite thick at the arm bit.
Right.
So I think the cherries are hiding in the arm. And then you press a little button, the cherries come out. You pop, you're pushing back against the cherries and it pops back in.
So right, it doesn't go into the doll at all.
No,
it's like it's like a trick knife.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say a dog's penis, but yeah.
Better drink much better. Yeah.
So yeah, it's a mystery soup.
Yeah.
I still don't see what the My Baby All Gone spoon has to do with what you were saying.
Do you know what I'm saying? There's magic, right?
Right. Okay.
So James doesn't know. I think the soup is the cherries. It's within the arm of the spoon. If you get
okay,
me.
Okay. So you don't. There's no big soup bowl.
No.
It's just the spoon.
I'm getting a soup injection in the spoon.
What?
Is that bad?
Oh no, it's even more confusing. What's going on?
No.
I've got a spoon that's the handle's loaded with soup, and you're gonna eat it.
Yeah. You're gonna feed it to me.
Yeah. I'm gonna eat it. If I press it against your mouth, what happens? Because like
soup comes out.
But with My Baby All Gone, you press the cherries
the super
are on the
treats.
The cherries are on the spoon.
Oh, it's a reverse.
And when you
My
push
Baby
it, push it in the baby's My Baby All Gone's mouth.
It's a My Baby still here.
The cherries go into the handle.
My baby's still here.
It's a My Baby still here.
Yeah, yeah. I can't be putting an empty spoon to your mouth and then squirting soup in.
Do you know what? I thought about this too long that I fought myself out of the logic of this podcast, haven't I? But
somehow
that is what I want. So if we can make that happen.
I think. I mean, look, I love soup.
Yeah, sure.
I'm in a soup WhatsApp group. Do you want to have a look?
I want you to describe it to me first.
Just when I think, well, let's move on to the next one. Well, clearly we're not letting this go. She's in a soup WhatsApp group.
There's a soup WhatsApp group called Soup Share. Now, it's been suggested to the originator of this soup WhatsApp group that we should be called Soup Group. And someone suggested that, and she kicked him out. So she's a very strong leader.
Yeah.
Kicked him out the soup.
I've been in it for 5 years, this soup group.
So is it people, when they make soup, they update the group?
Yeah, when they make soup, when they order soup at a restaurant, they rate it. It was originated because this lady wanted to do a golden soup week, which was where she would eat soup 5 days of the week in different places.
Right.
And I was inspired by that. And she was on Twitter and she asked if anyone wanted to join her soup WhatsApp group. And I went in full whammy.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You don't know this person.
I don't know her that well. I've met her a few times, but
you just
she's
saw
not
her on Twitter.
Yeah. She's more of a Twitter friend, but she lives in Dublin.
Yeah.
So like I met her a few times. She was very nice. She came to a play that I put on.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if I see her, I'll say hello. But I feel bad about calling people friends.
Mm.
Do you know, and they might go, I don't, where were you when when my mum died or whatever? Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not that close. So,
well, you should have gone to the funeral.
Yeah. You'd have been straight there.
I would have been in my. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
Are you wearing soup earrings? I've just realised.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you are. Your earrings are bowls of soup, 3D bowls of soup.
They're bowls of soup, yeah, I got them off a website. I thought, yeah.
Perfect.
I've got a chicken nugget hair clip as well, but I thought that'd be too much today. I thought.
Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I was like, I don't wanna overwhelm these people.
How often is the group where you talk about soup being up? The more
updated.
I say it, the crazier it is that it's not called the soup group.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I think we can change it.
And even funnier that she kicked someone out for suggesting.
She's a bit,
the logical thing.
It was really, really active for a couple of years. I'd say it's slowed down a bit now. I mean, people have just got over lockdown and are living their lives a bit more. But, like, we're always there. And as also, if anyone on soup group, David O'Daherty's in the soup group, but he's very silent in it. He barely contributes.
Not soup.
Yeah.
No. He's not making soup.
Kind of thing, Donald's is always going to join that as soon as possible, but then go, well, I've got nothing to contribute to this. I'm just happy to be here.
So, like if anyone, there's a guy who's like a chef, and sometimes he goes on TV, and there'll be a little message in the soup group going, I saw Super Marcus is on, and we call each other supers. And it's like a little, it's like being in the Freemasons, I think, but with soup.
Very similar.
Yeah, I feel like we support each other.
And obviously, if you have a soup, are you taking a photo of that and sharing it on the soup?
And then they could rate your soup. They could look at the croutons and go, like, I like that. I like what they've added, toasted almonds, whatever.
Yeah.
We will often say TUT, which means talk us through. And then they would have to go into more detail about how the soup was made or where they got it.
I don't hate it.
No, I
kind of love it.
I love it.
I kind of love it, actually. I mean, the whole thing is like...
I barely know anyone in it. Like, it's great.
Yeah. Has anyone ever posted a picture of a soup that they had that they were proud of, that they made or had at a restaurant, where everyone's just laid into them?
Oh, no, we're very
supportive. Yeah. It's supportive.
Yeah, it's supportive.
Add me later.
if you want to get in, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I don't know how supportive it's going to be when Ed joins, because Ed will speak his mind.
Well, you'll say, like, change it to soup group.
Yeah.
Really, the first thing I do.
Change the name.
Hey, guys, I'm my friend Ed. Down. Right, there's going to be some changes around here.
Changes it to soup group. Somehow makes himself the head admin.
There's a soup coop.
Yeah.
Like, or coop.
Soup coop.
Yeah, it would only work written down.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good, Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Your dream main course.
Okay, so I'm going for a pasta cream bean dream, which is a real...
You get kicked out of the group for that sort of thing.
I would probably... Pasta cream bean dream is actually a recipe from an Ainsley Harriott cookbook called Meals in Minutes. And my mother used to have that cookbook. And my family, I'm come from a family of like four kids. I got four sisters, but my one sister, I don't know why I'm explaining to them. One sister lives in England and was brought up with my dad and his wife, and she's lovely and she probably is going to listen to this. So hello, Ellen. She has pasta cream bean dream as well, but in her own house. Like she's, I'm really talking myself into a family row here. But what I'm saying is, shout out to Ellen, but the memories I'm talking about is like when I was a kid and there was like, all my little sisters, they were all fussy in different ways. They all had different food problems and whatever. And there was this meal that my mum made, and we all hated the idea of it because the recipe is, it's pasta, you cook it, you bacon, lardons, onion, and you cook the onion like really soft and everything, it's chopped up quite nice. Then when the pasta's nearly done, you throw in some green beans on top of the pasta. And then you cut up some lettuce. And you put in some vegetable stock on top of the bacon and the onions, cook it up a bit, throw in some creme fraiche and kind of put it on a low so it's like, again, and then you throw the lettuce on top and then the pasta on top. And all, sorry, I was just burping there. All the I should not have drank a fizzy drink. Why? Do you know why it is? Because I just didn't want to pay for one. I was like, oh, free Coke. Like, but I'm being hindered. It's a recipe that we all thought would be disgusting.
Yeah.
And then when we ate it, it was incredible. It was like so, so good. And all of us liked it. Every one of us liked it. Like my dad, my mum. My dad, when he lived with us at the time, this is painting quite the portrait, but like...
This is the one thing we all agreed on.
You know, because this is probably the one podcast my dad will listen to, because he's heard of you and everything. Do you know, like, a lot of stuff I've achieved in Ireland, and he's like, oh, I don't know what that is. Like, do you know what I mean? He was so, like, but it was like, a pasta cream bean dream was like a great kind of family recipe.
And so that was, and then that was also taken over, your dad took...
To his new wife and child. Hello, Don and Ellen. They're great. Like, we're very happy what do you call a family? That's
family
like,
unit.
Yeah. We're two branches share in the love of pasta cream bean dream.
Like, so did he? When he was living in Ireland, was he making the pasta cream bean dream, or was someone else making it? And when he moved, he learned how to make it himself, or he got someone else to make it for him?
My dad is like a bit of a modern man in a way. He used to. So I was born in England, and I moved over to Ireland when I was 6 years old. And when I moved over to Ireland, I had quite an English accent and everything, and quite like English kind of cultural stuff.
I cannot imagine this.
I know. I loved like picnic food, you know, like Scotch eggs and stuff, which in Ireland at the time, no one had heard of.
They saw witchcraft.
And like, you know, and my dad used to make me my lunch. And he would make like tomato sandwiches with a bit of salt on the tomato with butter and bread. And like my Irish colleagues, well, school colleagues, school friends.
Friends?
Yeah,
yeah.
Children.
Friends.
You're really suspicious of calling people friends.
Hello, my colleagues.
Hello, colleagues.
With an English accent. Good to see you, my colleagues. How are you?
Another day at the coal face.
I trust you enjoyed your weekend.
I'm just enjoying a Scotch egg.
Don't mind me.
So, but the kids used to be really freaked out by the lunches that I had.
Yeah.
And they would be like, what the hell is that? So I was always very used to like kids thinking that everything I ate was kind of disgusting and everything. So like anytime my friends would come around, my mum would have to have like chicken nuggets in the freezer for my mates because like, because we would cook mad food. It would be like, it was the 90s. It was really like the world was the our oyster. My dad used to make curries and stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I used to love about my dad is like sometimes, I don't know what I'm going to say. Well, he loved, So sometimes when dad felt he wasn't being like respected or like he felt he'd done too much work within the house, he'd go, oh, we're just going to put a brush up my arse, am I? And that was his little catchphrase.
Oh, what a catchphrase.
Yeah. And like when I think of it now, I'm like, what brush? Like, what was that? I presume a sweet
brush.
What
did he think was happening there?
Yeah. So is that to suggest that he does so much work, he may as well put a brush up his ass and brush everywhere he goes, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. I didn't think it was...
You were both thinking that it was bristles first.
Yeah. I thought it was a brush from a dustpan and brush, and it was bristles first with a little handle poking out his bum. Why don't I just do that? That's what I was putting.
I'll just do that, shall I? Why, Dad? Never mind.
Actually, yeah, it's got a broom.
Yeah, it's a broom.
That's very clever.
Up his arse, so wherever he goes, he's brushing up.
Yeah.
So he would cook. My mum would cook as well, but like that was a big family recipe that they would all do together. And it was nice. It was great.
Pasta cream bean dream.
And for Christmas, my mum bought me an Ainsley Harriet cookbook of meals and minutes because I like that recipe. And I now cook it for my boyfriend. So it's like a real a real throwback from the 90s. Does it sound tasty to you?
Yeah. The lettuce is a curveball.
No, so basically the name Pasta Cream Bean Dream sounds bad.
Really?
Sounds like that won't be tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few things in the thing, the lettuce on top. So a few things made me think, I'm not sure that sounds tasty. But then when you said you don't think it's going to be delicious and then it's delicious.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, cool. So yeah. So far, I've thought, no, this doesn't sound very nice. But then you're like, but it's delicious. Well, I'll trust that.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's real good. It's really, really tasty. And you have to have it fresh. Like, it congeals. Like all good foods.
You know? Yes, sure.
So you gotta kind of have a fresh pasta cream bean dream. And we really, really liked it. But none of my mates liked it. I remember... Once my friend, we were about 15, I introduced my friend to hummus and she loved it. And like I felt great. Like I for somehow like just felt like, wow, I'm really spreading this hummus around. Like as if like it was.
you were really. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she asked
the head of the trend.
She was like, what's in it? And I was like, I actually don't know. Yeah, I definitely brought hummus to Westmead.
That's good.
I think, yeah.
Also, well done for calling her your friend just now.
Not
a colleague.
Oh, I definitely consider her a friend.
Yeah.
I got in a fight for her. Like, that's a friend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah.
Did it all kick off on the hummus group?
Yeah.
Well, no. She kissed someone's boyfriend, and then they got a bit aggro.
Sounds like you're on the right side of history there, right?
They got a bit aggro.
Yeah.
That's the. You really said it as if it was the other person's fault there. They got a bit territorial.
Oh, you pick one friend.
A bit selfish, this person, and their boyfriend.
I think it's the boyfriend's fault, personally.
Sure. Yeah, fair. Sure. Yeah, so she kissed someone's boyfriend. They got a bit aggro and you beat up the... You hospitalised the woman.
I didn't hospitalise them, but I did. What did I do? I'm very good with, like, I'm short and I'm quite stocky. Uh-huh. And I could feel like they tried to knock me over. And it's like knocking over, like, what were one of those dolls that have, like...
Here we go. Another doll.
Here we go.
My baby, stand up.
You
throw cherries
down
at them and they never go down.
They just say, nice try.
they tried to fight, but it was just, they couldn't knock me down. So, like, they just stopped after a while.
Perfect. I think we have to get to the bottom of what doll this is like.
Oh, it's, okay, so it's, like, shaped like a skittle, like a bowling skittle.
Yeah.
But it's got, like, a big round arse on it. Like, instead of like a flat
and it just like a wee, is it a weeble? Yeah.
Is that a weeble? That's a weeble.
Is that the weeble's wobble, but they don't fall down?
Weeble wobble, yeah.
Thing?
Brilliant. Yeah. That's it. That's
so
what I am.
You're like a weeble.
Yeah, I'm a weeble. That's what I am. I am a weeble.
Your dream side dish.
If we were being logical, a side dish for pasta cream bean dream would be like a garlic bread.
Yeah.
But garlic bread is not even in my top 200 side dishes,
right.
I would say. Like, it's fine,
yes.
But it's so much better than that. So I'm going to go for stewed red cabbage, because I really like stewed red cabbage. And lamb skewers, that's what I'd have.
Hold on, what?
I couldn't decide between lamb skewers. I've had these, like, lamb skewers in London. My friend Fern, who I did a podcast with, like, she's introduced me. So, number one, she messaged me to ask us where, if she's okay with booking a place for 2 weeks in Dublin for us to eat food.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's very, like, organised. She knows what she wants. And the first place she brought me was this place that I can't remember, but it's in London. And it's a Chinese place with lamb skewers.
Uh-huh.
And they're incredible. They were, like, the best things I've ever eaten. In fact, right. Also, this is another thing. I'd love to bring to the Dream Restaurant condiments, like, throughout the whole thing.
Your own condiments?
Yeah. Well, the Dream Restaurant will have them there, but it's on the table.
Yeah.
So I'd like some white mausu ryu, which is like, it's a type of, like, peanut, sesame seed, oil, chili-based jar, and it's very tasty. Uh-huh. You can have it on rice, and you can have it on, like, scrambled eggs or avocado.
Yeah, three things that you've not picked.
Yeah. I'm gonna try it on my pasta green bean dream. Yeah, and we'll see how we get on.
The perfect condiment for nothing that you're having.
Yeah.
I'll have it on a
chuck
it cracker.
On an Ainsley Harriet recipe from 20 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, you should. The book is all stuck together and everything, the Ainsley Harriet one from, like, from the 90s. But anytime that there's red cabbage on a menu, no matter the meat or no matter what it's served with, I always order it. Uh-huh. And it's normally disappointing.
Well,
but, like,
okay.
I like to dream and I like to be happy.
Dream being dream.
And it is like, yeah. And I love that flavouring. I was nearly torn between having... So, because I'm from... I would consider myself to be from Ireland because my accent and stuff like that. And I hate English sausages, and so I feel like my... Have you had Irish sausages?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Little pink lads, they're good. Uh-huh. They're really tasty. But here, your sausages are, like, overly herbed, quite coarse, meat, and the thickness of your skin is just, like... I don't know what you're trying to protect the pork from. It honestly is like minced meat in a Johnny. Like, it's disgusting to me.
I love English sausages.
Do you love English sausages? I just don't like a prophylactic with my, like, you know.
I've never noticed the thickness of the skin.
Oh, you will now. Put it to your teeth. I swear, it's very thick. But what the thing that I love from Britain that I brought over to Ireland that the Irish couldn't, stop me from loving was tinned tomatoes. On my fry up. Now I'm in a WhatsApp group for fry ups as well.
Oh my goodness. Is it all the same people from the soup group?
Some of them. There's a definite Venn diagram.
Some crossover.
Have you ever thought of maybe combining the two groups?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, look, could you combine soup and a fry up? It's called Come Fry With Me.
Better.
There's definitely more criticism within the fry up group.
Yeah, people get very defensive over that sort of stuff.
Yeah. A lot of airport fries and stuff like that.
Ask James what he has on his fry up.
James, What do you have
first,
in your...
First thing, see what you think of this.
Okay, what do you have in your fry-up?
Okay, don't look at Ed for it.
Okay.
I'm just going to tell you...
Do you want me to look away? Or do you
do the same order as you told me before.
Give me feedback on, okay. Yeah, on what you think. And then, okay, scrambled eggs. What do you think about that?
Compared to what? Like, compared to the...
Just any other
That's
eggs.
That's the only egg he
I have scrambled eggs on my fry-up. What do you think?
I'm thinking, what do you dip your sausage into?
There, thank you. Thank you.
Is that the truth? Yes!
What are you dipping your johnnies into?
Yeah, you're bringing...
Beans, sausage and beans.
That's what you're having. Scrambled eggs, sausage and beans.
And hash browns.
Very good. Very good. I like
crispy
it.
Crispy bacon.
Very good. I like that.
Fried bread.
Now, my dad likes fried bread. Mm. Once my granddad and my dad got into a actual very big row on Christmas over fried bread because he wanted fried bread. And my granddad was like, no, even though, yeah. Like, he had the frying pan. So, yeah. Like, my dad went up to sulk for about an hour.
Frying pan up his ass and I went upstairs.
Seconds away. Yeah. Seconds away from me saying he's put a pan up his ass.
Legging it there in the punchline. Scrapping around.
So that, what are you having as a kind of wetness? Where's the wetness?
The beans. Within,
the beans, yeah. My mum's husband calls English people beanos because they like beans with their fries.
Well, I mean, you're eating cream bean dream in your house. Yeah, what are you talking about?
He doesn't eat it. He eats potatoes. Like, genuinely, he's a very big spud man. Yeah, I would go for it if you're talking to me about fry-up. I would bring the elements of Britain and Ireland together. So it would be like the Good Friday Agreement of breakfast.
Friday.
The Good Friday,
good,
yeah.
Yeah, this Good Friday. Perfect, yeah.
We're scrabbling from the same ones all the time this week.
I would go for the bubble and squeak. I love bubble and squeak. I would have one fried egg. I wouldn't be arsed that much. The fried egg to me is a condiment and that's it. Irish sausages, crispy bacon. And then I would go for half a tin of tomatoes that have been boiled up so much that it's almost become thick and you have loads of Worcester sauce on that. And that's my favourite element of a fry. It's like that tin of tomatoes. And I nearly had it as my side dish.
Wow.
Because I like tins of tomatoes.
Now, I've gone on record before saying no tomatoes in my fry-up. Don't want them. But the way you described that just then sounded delicious. Nah. Putting the Worcester sauce in them.
Oh, it's so good.
And getting all I've never been convinced before. I don't like the half a tomato or whatever that's fried in the frying pan. Garbage. I don't like it. Don't want it in my fry-up.
Yeah.
That then sounded pretty cool.
It's great.
Like a Bloody Mary.
I feel really safe.
It's like having a bit of bolognese. I'm not into it.
I just feel really safe having like loads of tins of tomatoes in my house.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel like whatever happens, you got tins of tomatoes.
You're ready for a nuclear winter.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I had a nice fry up for my nuclear winter. Just stick a sausage on a fork and put it out the window and bring it back in.
How's this for a weird egg story? My mum's family all like different bits of the egg. So my auntie only likes the white and my mum only likes the yolk. So whenever we've had breakfast as a family, they just make the eggs and then cut all the bits out that they like. So my mum sits there with two yolks and my auntie sits there with a pile of white.
And Ed's there with a mouthful of shells.
That's great. That's like working in tandem.
Yeah.
I hate the thing about scrambled eggs for me, and it's probably been discussed on the podcast before, is do you ever see like it's the juice of the scrambled egg that I don't like.
Oh right, yeah.
And that's why I don't like poached eggs that much either. Is the
watery.
Yeah, with a fried egg. And I can make a boiled egg myself at home really well.
Well done.
I really, thank you. It's my speciality. Is that?
I'm just so how proud you are. I can make a boiled egg at home all by myself.
My baby yoga. But yeah, so I'm pretty passionate when it comes to eggs.
Yeah.
But if I'm at home, a fried egg is, I don't care about it. But if I'm out, I'll have a fried egg. Because you can't mess up a fried egg that much.
So you're already having two sides here. You've got the lamb skewers and you've got the cabbage, red cabbage.
Red cabbage.
You said you got the lamb skewers in a Chinese restaurant as well. Have you ever had lamb skewers in Chinese restaurants before?
Oh, they're incredible.
And there's so much like cumin on them and stuff like that. It's so good.
And they're like Szechuan pepper. So it's kind of like that hotness where it hits your mouth and then you breathe in a few times and it gives a different element of hot.
It's like numbing.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had lamb skewers from this a Uyghur restaurant called Etler's in Walthamstow. which do amazing, like, thin lamb skewers just covered in, like, and then they dust it with cumin afterwards. It's so good. So good.
That sounds great.
I'm kind of, like, quite tempted to let you have the tin tomato with the Worcester sauce as well.
Could we pretend it's a condiment?
Round it off.
You could, but you say you basically use it as a condiment, right?
I do, don't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
I just think that's quite appealing, and I'd like to let that.
Yeah, little ramekin, there. Little ramekin of that.
That would be amazing, yes, yeah.
Your dream drink.
So I don't really drink alcohol anymore. I get very bad hangovers.
Yeah.
So I do drink alcohol, but it's as much as like a normal person would take ecstasy. So like once a year kind of thing. And I'd make sure I've got no work for the next 4 days after.
Yeah.
If my dream restaurant, if it was an alcoholic beverage, Bacardi Breeze or watermelon, which no longer are in stock.
Yeah.
But I love them. It's a great taste. I went into a Waitrose a couple of years ago to buy them because I'm quite... My dad lives in England. My mum lives in Ireland. So when I come to England, Bacardi Breeze or watermelon's an absolute treat. You don't get them in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
So I went into this Waitrose and I was saying, can I get a Bacardi Breeze or watermelon? And the lady laughed at me. And I was like, what is this? I just want like the best drink known to man. But yeah, so if we could go to the past and get a Bacardi Breeze or watermelon.
Absolutely.
That would be amazing. But like if it's realistic, like I got work the next day, dream drink would be a Tango Ice Blast.
Oh.
In a very silly, elaborate plastic thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Ramesh Ranganathan chose... I don't know if it was a Tango Ice Blast, but it was an ice blast. It was a Tango Ice Blast.
Yeah.
For his dream drink.
Yeah.
And he said what he would love more than anything is an ice blast machine in his house, in the garage. Do you think you would like that, or do you think it would make it less of a treat if you had it on tap all the time?
Well, I live with five people, so I don't really have room for a Tango. I don't have room for like a... I don't have room for a dehumidifier in my house, so I don't have a Tango Ice Blast.
But an ice blast machine will do a lot of the work, I think.
Let's play a little game, then.
All right.
You've got to get rid of one of your housemates
for
the ice blast machine. Who's it going to be? Talk us through why.
Do you want me to... No.
To you two. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Talk us through.
Talk us through, yeah. To you two. Thank you, Benita.
I would...
Who are they all first? Tell us who they are before you tell us who you're going to choose.
Are you friends with them all, or is this more of a housemate arrangement, sort of flatmate thing?
It's a flatmate thing, but they're all friendly and nice. Jamie is a teacher. Alistair is a guy who does like engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy is a journalist. And I would... this is very hard.
And then your boyfriend.
Simon, yeah. I'd get rid of Simon.
Yeah, I'm going to say, like, I've heard teacher doing great work. Engineer, if the Tango Ice Blast machine breaks down, they can help.
Yeah.
Journalist, good for your career.
That's
some good reviews.
Oh, absolutely. BuzzFeed, bang.
Suck it, Simon.
Suck it, Simon. S-U-S.
He can suck the Tango Ice Blast.
Yeah.
From a distance.
Yeah, I'd get rid of Simon because I think Simon would be, he is my undying love.
Yeah.
So, like.
Yeah, he doesn't need anywhere to live.
Yeah.
Keep him warm at night.
Yeah. I could have that arrangement where like I have my boyfriend live with me, but I just say that he's coming occasionally and he's just there every night with his toothbrush in the, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm not breaking the lease agreement. But if you asked me about all flatmates, it would have been another person that lived with me during lockdown and didn't believe that lockdown existed.
Oh,
and we
had
a... Well, he believed the lockdown existed and... But we had big rows over
but
that.
He didn't think he should.
Yeah. He listened to a lot of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Tango Ice Blast.
Yeah.
Tango Ice Blast, but watermelon flavoured of the Bacardi Breezer. Let's do it.
You want a Tango Ice Blast, but we need to pour the Bacardi Breezer in it.
Yeah, the texture of an ice blast.
Boozy Tango Ice Blast.
Yeah. With the...
Oh, so hold on. So it's not orange tango flavour. You want a Bacardi Breezer watermelon ice blast.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. And we want like a silly shaped vessel for it as well.
Yeah.
You can pick. Surprise me.
What vessel do you want?
Minion.
A curvy
shape. Minion, yeah. Minions.
A minion. Yeah, minions. I love minions. They're so wise, aren't they? They've got all the... You ever see on Facebook and there's like just sad minions going like, love can't hurt or whatever. And you're like, who's telling these minions all this bits of knowledge? Like, it's crazy.
You're drinking out of one now?
Yeah, drinking out of one's head.
Oh, nice. That's
Straw goes in the head.
Brilliant.
The minions there. I'd say that's one of my favourite things that someone's made up on the podcast. Yeah.
Cool.
Like something that I think that would be delicious.
Yeah.
A Bacardi piece of watermelon. In fact, I would prefer that to both a Tango Ice Blast or a Bacardi Breezer Watermelon.
Yes.
I prefer a Bacardi Breezer Watermelon Ice Blast.
Could you imagine just walking around like nice and drunk with a Tango Bacardi Breezer Watermelon?
In a minute.
You know? Yeah. Just falling into a canal. You're like...
We had that great drink when we were in New York at the Korean pub. It was a whole watermelon and it was like soju watermelon, so the Korean spirit. And then they'd obviously cut all the watermelon out of the husk.
Amazing.
And whizzed it up with the soju, loads of ice, poured it in there. It was like a punch, and you like ladled it out.
Yes. Oh, my
God. It was so good.
Oh, that sounds
great.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was really
delicious.
Good. I think about that a lot.
I'd forgotten that completely.
Yeah.
I'd love, did it have any, like, a bit of lime on top of it or anything to cut through?
I can't remember.
The...
Yeah, maybe it did. It was just, it tasted great. Perfect.
Yeah, that was really incredible. Delicious. Yeah.
Wow. My mouth is watering.
We arrive at your dream dessert.
Brilliant. Okay.
Exciting.
This is like a restaurant-y one, though.
Okay.
Because I've gone for a lot of, like, homemade stuff, and now I want you to know that I've been to a restaurant. So there's this place in Ireland called The Greenhouse, which is, like, a Dublin base. It's a fancy restaurant. And it was a place that, like... So the way that I treat fancy restaurants is I can't really afford to go to them often. But when I get to go, it feels like a real achievement and it feels incredible. It feels like going on like a weekend holiday or something like that. You know, it feels like something that I should be allowed to treat myself to. And I do. And I love it. And there's this place, there's two restaurants. One's called Chapter One in Dublin and the other one is called Greenhouse. And I've been to those. Once my boyfriend cycled to Chapter One and he sweated all in his t-shirt and he didn't want to wear his t-shirt in, but it's like a really posh restaurant, so he just wore a hoodie with nothing underneath it.
To be posh
like a Magic Mike person. It felt great, and they were so nice. They treated us no different to anyone else and it felt great. So I like going to those places because it has the drama in a Chapter One. They have like this special Irish coffee which they wheel it to you on this big brass trolley, and they'll get some mace and they'll grate it into this big bowl and then put the coffee in and... So sorry. Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to lie, Alison. I love it every time it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it feels like I'm getting pausing for emotion.
Got some tears.
Yeah, like I'm at a muff fucking storytelling night, wherever. And I really felt that when he put the mace into that Irish coffee. But and then they flambé it and they put it into a cup and it feels incredible to have that done. But the Greenhouse has this souffle that's made of passion fruit with a white chocolate and ginger sauce that you pour into it.
Oh my God.
And it's the greatest thing I've ever had in my life. It tasted so good. And I'm going to add to that a scoop of Murphy's sea salt ice cream.
Lovely.
Which is from an ice cream shop in Dublin. And they make their own salt themselves. And they make the ice cream themselves. And it's the greatest ice cream I've ever had in my life.
Oh, yes.
So that's what I'm going to have. Yeah.
Sounds great.
If we're going for a bit of texture there, because it's quite like eggy and ice creamy, we'll throw in a few communion wafers on top. And
some sweet ones.
Yeah, just some sweet ones. Little scoopers.
Oh,
I love the
sound
great.
Of that.
It's great.
I love a sweet souffle. It's been said on the podcast before. I think if ever there's one on a menu, I will order it. Like, yeah, because it's not often.
Mm. Yeah.
On the dessert menu, you get a souffle on there. I think last one I had was like a really nice sticky toffee souffle, which was delicious.
And what I love about ordering a souffle is like you feel like Grace Dent on like MasterChef, where you're like waiting, you're like, I hope they don't fuck it up. But you know, I know in my heart of hearts I'd eat it anyway. You know, and never say a word.
Yeah, if it just comes to scrambled eggs, straight into it anyway.
Num num, of course you people know better than me. Oh, sweet scrambled
I'll have
eggs.
Yours. Yeah, I do that as well. Delicious.
But I'm not like a massive fan of desserts, but that was like a really good dessert. Same way, like I'm not a massive fan of wines. But when they have like a good wine tasting menu, I'll go for that.
Yeah.
Because you might as well.
And they're pouring the sauce into the souffle. So it's like,
you
it's
get
like
it
a hole.
Yeah. You get it in a jug.
Yeah.
And you control your own destiny with that jug. And like, I've eaten the souffle and I will lick out the jug as well.
Yeah.
Like, I will.
Of course.
You've got to.
Yeah, you got to.
Of course.
You got to.
Don't use the spoon.
No.
You act on instinct.
The tongue is nature's spoon.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yes.
Is
it
not? Yeah, I guess
it's
so.
It's a utensil.
It is a utensil.
If you're an anteater.
Yeah. I am when it comes to souffle. I just I really do love licking out stuff out of food. Like the Muller corners, everything. I'll go for it. Like,
yeah.
I'll breathe it in. I'll use every element of my mouth to intake food. I will.
What are your favourite Muller corners? What are your favourite things to have in
cherry.
The corner?
Cherry.
The cherry one.
Cherry is like, because it's like a step up from strawberry in a way. Strawberry is like the prettiest girl in your village. You know there's better out there.
Yeah,
you know, they're available, but you know that there's...
Boring, they're never going to go further.
No.
You know.
You're going to reach those cosmopolitan heights of cherry. You're going to, you know.
I know that's why you think you like cherry, but I think it's because my baby Orgon. I think that's why. It was planted in your head as a child.
Big cherry have finally got to me.
Yeah, you've never
eaten a cherry because it pops back into the spoon.
You never know. with the corners, you flip it over, put it back, it appears again.
Yeah.
keep on trying to put it in the yogurt. Do you like crunch corners as well, just fruit corners?
I'm not a big crunch person.
Right.
I'd add my own crunch. Like, you know, you can. I've thrown in... When I was a kid, I used to microwave Rover's originals and make a sugar craft out of it and eat it. Would you not do that?
No, as a kid, I would not
microwave Werther's originals, make sugar craft out of it, and then eat it.
I thought I did when Princess Diana died. But
what are you talking about?
I was trying to... It's just a memory I have. Beautiful example.
I've never heard a sentence where I didn't know where it was going as much as that.
Yeah, but also like... Already a weird thing has been introduced to us. So I used to microwave Werther's originals and do sugar craft out of them. But already got a lot of questions. And before I've even started to ask the questions, it's what I did when Princess Diana died.
But I just, when... I was a kid.
So
right?
What would you do? You would put the Werther's originals in the microwave.
Yeah, let's deal with this first.
Okay, the Werther's originals. Okay, the concept itself. So
Unwrap them,
of course. Yeah, it's dangerous not to unwrap them. So I would place like a naked Werther's original on a little plate, pop it in the microwave, 30 seconds at most. It's going to melt down.
When it melts down, what are we talking? How's it looking? Like toffee sauce?
Like toffee sauce. If you put it in for a minute, you're going molten and like it's going to burn. The sugar smoke will you really get in trouble with your parents at that point because it's just your whole house smells of burnt sugar. But do it 30 seconds. You got that kind of sauce element. Then you take it out. You can see it's almost like you're looking at it and you can see it solidify in front of your eyes.
Uh-huh.
I put a fork in it and I give it a twist.
Yeah.
And it makes little curls up into the air and you can make a full, you can sugar craft like little shapes and stuff. You feel like a Michelin star chef.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Making little shapes.
Mm.
What do you mean you did that when Princess Diana died?
As in like, I knew my dad would be upset.
Why? Because he's English.
Yeah, because he's English. I didn't know. I was very young and I was up trying to watch cartoons. It was on a Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there were no cartoons. The news was on and it said that Princess Diana died. And I didn't know who she was, but I knew that my dad liked her. So I went into the kitchen and tried to make my dad some sugar craft before he woke up, and then I told him the news with a little plate of sugar craft stuff, and he was quite upset. He didn't eat the sugar craft.
So that didn't take the edge off at all?
No.
Hold on, you walked in, how old were you?
This has been quite a dad-heavy episode. I'm sorry, Dad.
Yeah.
but
as you said, it's the one episode he's going to listen to,
it is.
As well feature heavily in it.
I know, I had a whole TV series in Ireland, I sent him over the DVDs, and he didn't watch it for 2 years. And then I asked him one day, I was like, have you watched it? And he goes, yeah, I have. And I was like, all right, what do you think of it? He goes, oh, well, it's not really aimed at me, is it?
Great.
And I was like, everything is aimed at you. the sugar craft is like just when you want to jazz
just
up
like
something.
Nice. So you presented your dad with these nice sugary shapes and said, I've got some news. Princess Diana,
the Queen of Hearts is dead.
And then I'd imagine he took the sugar craft and shoved it straight up his ass.
Straight up there. Make some room. Push the brush and the frying pan to one side. Who sugar craft right in there. Ass absolutely full to the brim.
The Queen of Hearts!
Then we went back wanted. To England. He did say, not her, not now. And I've never like asked him like why or like what was that about, but he was very upset.
Not her, not now.
Oh, yeah. Bless him. Oh, man.
I'm going to read your menu back to you now, see okay. how you feel about it. You want tap water from Ballymore?
Yes.
You would like prawn crackers with Chinese mini meals mm-hmm. around the outside?
Mm-hmm.
Starter, you want mystery soup?
Yeah.
Main course, Ainsley's pasta cream bean dream?
Yes.
Side dish, stewed red cabbage,
mm-hmm.
lamb skewers,
mm-hmm.
and tinned tomatoes with Worcester sauce.
Beautiful, yeah.
Drink, watermelon, Bacardi Breezer, ice blast.
Yes.
In a minion cup.
In a minion cup, yes.
Dessert, a passion fruit souffle from the greenhouse and a scoop of Murphy's sea salt ice cream.
Yes. I'm happy about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about me walking around with the minion cup, like sucking out its farts, just like, you know, drinking in its wisdom.
I'd say it starts bad with mystery soup and pasta cream bean dream.
I know,
and
yeah.
And then I think the side dishes sound nice individually, and then the drink and the dessert sound great.
Cool, I feel good. I'm gonna.
I like the sound of pasta cream bean dream. Alison, thank you so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alison.
Wait.
There we are, Alison Spittle, a great episode.
Goodbye, Rose.
It flew off in some directions I was not expecting.
Yeah, absolutely. But I enjoyed all of those directions very, very much.
So much, so much.
What a bunch of great episode. Directions. And more importantly, Alison Spittle did not say skimmed milk, which is the worst of the milks. So
it is the worst milk.
Yeah.
So. I don't know, man. Oat.
I drink oat milk. I drink it. I drink it now. That's
it tastes too oaty for me, and I like oats.
Yeah, no, it's too sweet sometimes. Yeah. And but, you know, that's it now. I'm an oat milk boy.
You're an oat milk boy.
Maybe I'll try and switch to soya milk or something.
I'm an almond milk boy.
Are you?
I like almond milk.
Almond milk, maybe I'll try that out for a bit. Actually, yeah. I think I'm due a change. I'm a bit sick of oat milk. Yeah. I think also oat milk's really going to remind me of lockdown.
Yeah.
Once we've moved, because, you know, we're moving soon, and the flat, like, I only started drinking oat milk at the start of lockdown, so it really reminds me of it now. Yeah. I think I need to do a switch, and then I'll feel like I'm out. So once we've moved, we're not in the flat anymore, we're not in lockdown flat.
New house, new home, new man, new milk.
Yeah, that's the catchphrase.
That's James is the new man. He's not moving in with the new man.
Well, who knows?
Well, you know that, right?
Yeah, I've said to them, keep it a surprise while I'm moving,
like the mystery soup.
Yes.
Thank you very much to Alison for coming in. Do go and listen to Wheel of Misfortune. Do go and see her show. It will be very, very funny. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Off Menu.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh, no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.